Hey, this is Pax. We're doing a call-in show, which is not the normal type of show we do. But we just premiered very important documentaries, Cancel Culture, Mob Justice, or a Society of Subscriptions, what the book was adapted from. I'm Peter Coffin. This is ACD, Ms. Astronaut Cowboy Doctor. And that spells PACT. P for Peter, ACD for Astronaut Cowboy Doctor. So we'll probably talk a little bit about the doc for a little while. And if anybody wants to call in, you need to go into discord.pactpod.com.
Just don't say weird shit. Last time we did a call in, people kind of...
Yeah, we had
not people... Not everybody. Some conversations were very nice, but some people were saying weird shit.
Yeah. So this was the doc that I've spent the most time on ever. I've never spent this long on one. I wrote the doc and then I adapted the book, published the book.
Excuse me. Critical steps were left out of that process. Peter drafted the script and I edited it thoroughly.
Yeah. Well, I adapted it to the book and then did you edit it before I adapted it to the book?
I'm an editor of the book version.
I know, but I'm trying to figure out if you edited it before I did that or after I did that.
I edited it before.
Okay. And then I was thinking, this would only take like a month or so to edit. I was wrong because I did it at full capacity. It's a film. It's not like a 90-minute film, but it's a film. It's at the quality that I would consider. This is if I were to decide to make a film. This is a film.
A filmy.
Yes. I sang the song at both the start, Killing Strangers by Marilyn Manson, which was a holdover from the original version of Cancel Culture, which was a doc I did in 2020 that I think just, I was done with it and immediately I was dissatisfied with it. I was not happy with it. I didn't think it got to the bottom of the subject. I didn't think it was well edited. The only thing I was really actually proud of was the Killing Strangers. I think that was the only thing that I really particularly liked.
And I made them do it.
Yeah, I had been talking to ACD for a while and ACD encouraged me to do the Killing Strangers.
Yeah, Peter has a very good singing voice.
Both of us
can kind of sing our asses off.
Yeah, we're actually both pretty good singers at this point.
At this point.
I didn't used to be. I did not used to be a good singer. So the next doc is going to be Overpopulation, Eugenics, and Degrowth. It is another, like, it's a remake.
Yeah.
It's of the same detail I would call Cancel Culture versus the original Cancel Culture. Mm-hmm. It's vastly expanded, but I'm hitting the overpopulation issue. I'm linking it to eugenics. And then I am demonstrating how degrowth is all of that, as well as a necessary ideology to justify capitalism in crisis, which is itself headed towards fascism, as Rajani Palm Dutt put. So,
yes. Also, degrowth wasn't like a huge thing when that first one was made. So it's like a pretty big expansion.
No, I made the original overpopulation one because I saw a lot of leftists talking about how there needed to be less people on Earth and a lot of, you know, anti-natalist sentiment amongst the very vegan left. which, by the way, if you weren't a vegan at the time, you were actually morally bad.
Yeah.
Like that was like just pure mainstream.
Vegetarian when you made that video. I was for like a year, and then I dated a southerner who was good at cooking.
Yeah,
stop that shit. Good.
But then after that doc, we're going to do Consumption as Activism, which is going to retread a lot of custom reality and use points, as well as linking them towards like political content and on all of that. I am going to dress in so much fucking drag in that video. It's going to be ridiculous.
Me.
Yes, you are as well. We're going to be a series of influencers delivering that doc. Following that one.
It's my doc debut.
ACD's doing a doc. Obviously, like, it's a collaborative thing. Like, all of these are collaborative between, like, you have helped immeasurably with the new series of very important docs and have already appeared in it multiple times.
Thank you.
The best one so far is definitely you as Robin DiAngelo, though. That shit is, that's gold.
Thank you. If you think that's my full Joker mode, my God, the activism as consumption video is gonna.
I mean, that's literally going to be Joker mode.
That, I mean, that is like the Joker period of my life. This was like a very quickly inspired idea.
Yeah.
Given recent leftist content coming out that kind of fetishizes alienation, the doomerism that we talk about when you take radical liberalism to its final analysis, you get to anarchism, and then you get to this point where you realize, okay, well, within the current apparatus, this isn't a viable route to achieve any of the stated aims. So you either get to a point of hopelessness and doomerism, or you revert back to radical liberalism with, like, you know, anarchist aesthetics, but you're still, you know,
yeah,
CPUSAing everybody to the Democratic Party. Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I am making, or I'm writing a script about that fork that is heavily informed by my own experiences and is going to be using addiction as a primary exemplar of that reality, of alienation, how capitalism benefits from it, how it represents that fork, and drinking and using at those problems mm-hmm. as a form of activism.
Yeah, the one I'm doing directly before that is called Consumption as Activism, and then this one is going to be called Activism as Consumption. Which the word consumption does a little bit of extra work in that one.
Yeah. And there will be a lot of Green Day.
Yeah, there's going to be a shitload of Green Day.
And I will be living out my my theatrical punk dream.
Eleganza.
Yeah. my theatrical punk dream, Eleganza. Or I'm going to start on the cross.
Yeah, you're literally going to be starting off hanging from a cross.
This is like a very cathartic event for me personally.
And like at its core, like it's using addiction to talk about this because addiction is often a heavy part of it. But it's kind of the fetishizing of the wallowing and the doom and the...
Right, the doomerous fork of that. While also demonstrating how those kind of have a symbiotic relationship with each other, and people in like that that ultra left or radical liberalism mindset, they have this symbiotic relationship between the doomerism and like, we're doing something but it's not possible, everything's so shitty
and it's beautiful, the fact I can't do anything is beautiful, the fact my life is terrible is beautiful, it's all beautiful.
Yeah,
just to again, remind people, this is a call-in show. In order to call in, go to our Discord at discord.pactpod.com, and we will take your call. We'll answer it on here. We'll talk about the cancel culture doc. We are anxiously awaiting our poopus and...
please do nothing.
Please do nothing shirts.
Yeah, we made shirts.
Yeah, those are just perfect for shirts.
Those of you sharing your religious backgrounds, I was clearly like strongly Roman Catholic. Now, I remember being in seventh grade during Lent, and we were approaching the Triduum after Passion Sunday. And they showed a video. Catholics will know this. Via Dolorosa, that song, they showed a Stations of the Cross video, like live reenactment to that song. And it's like the most dramatic. It's like probably the reason that this video is starting with me hanging on the cross. But like, it It was crazy. They showed nails like going into the, it was a lot. And I remember being in seventh grade and like sobbing at this video. And like, I had to be taken out of the class because I was like inconsolable. And I was crying because I knew in my heart at the time that it was my fault that that was happening to Jesus. Like that was literally the conversation that I had. So when you were 12 and being like, I don't know about this God stuff.
Yeah.
I was inconsolably sobbing because my sins caused that pain for Jesus. Yeah.
I, on the other hand, I read the Bible and I just kind of just pieced out. I read a bunch of the Bible. Like I sat down and I was like, you know what? I'm going to read the Bible because that's the right thing to do. And I read it and I was like, I did read Revelations.
Revelations is, yeah.
That shit is fucking terrifying to a 12-year-old.
Yeah.
Well, you're like, what in the fuck is going
on? Well, why do you think I stuck around? See, that's the scrupulous response, is to say, oh shit, I need to really follow what's happening to me or else I'm going to be subject to
And this. I was like, there are machines coming out of the sky in a book from 2,000 years ago. I'm not so sure about this.
Nah, dog.
Do we have anybody who wants to call in? If you leave a request, we will bring you on because it's not like people are really breaking down the door for it. Hi, Sophia. How are you?
Hi, I'm doing great. How about y'all?
We're excited to have you on.
Thanks.
We don't normally do call-in shows, but we also don't normally premiere documentaries that took half a year to make.
I know. I was brave, I guess. I just know we need to have somebody on.
Thank you.
Just to kind of get the hype up.
The ball rolling.
Yeah, let's get
it. Yeah. I thought of a question.
Oh, great.
For both of you. If you could go, like, I guess before you identified as a communist, if you could go back and, like, help yourself, like tell yourself a hot tip on like, hey, you know, the world sucks, you know, it's really going to help. Like if you could help your previous self, like what would you do or say? Or
that's a really good question.
That's a great question. And I hope my answer isn't like too silly. I wish that right when I started college, I read Lenin.
Yeah.
And that would have, that was when, you know, I was at the, okay, like, for myself, actually, speaking of the church is like what kind of got me into leftism and at least seeing contradictions in my material reality in a different way than looking at contradictions of capitalism in like a theoretical sense. But it was the first time I looked at things dialectically. And instead of spending, I don't know, 4 or 5 years of like taking that and putting it into this futility, which as will be talked about in the next doc, led me into doing things that not only were unhelpful, but personally also led me into really shitty places. I could have spared myself all of that. I think if I read Imperialism, Highest Age of Capitalism and State and Revolution, like soon after, I was like, oh, maybe I'm not a Republican. That I think that would have been helpful for me and saved me a lot of time and given me a hopeful ideology for something that was consistent with my values, which is a happy, useful life for everyone and the ability to do that. So, I think getting invested in theoretical literature earlier.
I'm going to say the exact same thing, except for I'm going to say it around 2011 when I was being destroyed in the media. If I had, because I mean, that is what led me eventually to Marx and then ultimately to Lenin. But if I had had the foresight to read Marx then, so much of what I did between 2011 and 2015 would be different because I read Marx like late 2014, late early 2015. I read some of the more like Wage, Labor, and Capital, I think it was.
Yeah, I'm kind of underselling Marx and Engels. I should say the first thing I should have read after like Wage, Labor, and Capital, if I could have read Socialism, Utopian, and Scientific, and then like all those Leninist texts, I feel like I would have really like gotten it. Like, why what I did instead will be unsuccessful, and why doing some of those things, but in a lens that is historical materialist and not utopian, would be more helpful.
No, that's really the big one.
A huge part of scientific socialism is that it is not moralistic.
Mm-hmm.
Engels is so nice and friendly and I guess fair in his critique of the utopian socialist. So he's not saying, you know, Owens, Fourier, Saint-Simon, he's not saying these people are bad people. He's saying they're probably awesome people who did great things for the people and, you know, their respective projects.
Especially Owen.
Yeah, that from
his factory
a
was
work a, standpoint. Yeah.
His factory from the perspective of like, if you understand that the only reason it happened was because of his ownership of it.
Right.
Ultimately not actually progressing us towards a classless situation, was brilliant. Like, he worked out so much of what was an actual problem. And because he had the power individually to change that, he did.
Right.
Now, none of us do.
And it really is. Yeah, Gwender. Yeah. But it's just so... That's another thing that I think is critically important about a historical materialist, dialectical materialist approach to communism. Because it doesn't do that for, you know, the capitalists today either.
No.
Which is something that shocks the fuck out of people. When like my dad hears that I don't hate money, like it just totally blows his mind.
Well, like remember after your dad picked me up from the airport that one time and I had a conversation with him and he said to you, "Oh, I'm a socialist now."
Yeah, because Peter was talking about like the mirrors argument that Caleb uses. Like, we don't say abolish mirrors, or we didn't say abolish mirrors when they were only a thing that
royalty had. Yeah.
Yep.
That is such a great fucking analogy on, or even just observation on his part. It's not really, it's not like theoretically like the most important text, but if you don't know what Marx did, if you don't know what historical/dialectical materialism is, Socialism and Utopian Scientific, it's going to break you right out of that Bernie Sanders, AOC, anarchist, or DSA, or whatever.
You both did a reading of, right?
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
If people are interested in that text, it was a three-part reading. We have it as a playlist on the YouTube channel, but you can also just go back through the podcast episodes.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I remember those. I mean, I was going to comment actually on what ACD said earlier on about how kind of some of the religion stuff tied them together to like visions and things. And that's kind of what I really related to, because I was very much an adamant rules follower. And mm-hmm. I was the one giving it my best in Bible study readings. And then mm-hmm. people not really following through and being confused with that. So anyway, I just thought that was cool. So, well, thanks.
Thank you. Yeah, I completely, this also my experience being a scrupulous child and hanging on to things and sinking my nails into them until it just did not make sense.
Yeah. To the point of like being the kid in the room who's like, well, why can't we combine? Why couldn't Jesus create the world in a scientific way? Like, why can't, like,
yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like, you know, these things can't exist together, right?
Anyway. Mental gymnastics. So. Yeah.
That's actually something that Caleb Maupin's done a really good job addressing, is the sort of like Jesus is a socialist book type stuff.
Yeah. Did he write a book like that?
That was him and Keaton wrote that together.
Oh, I did.
And that, like, he was just debating with Jason Unruh. Oh, I don't know how to say his last name.
I watched that yesterday.
But he talked about how like people approach him regularly, like, thank you for writing a book like this. I have no idea how to approach my religious family who thinks that Marx was an atheist for sure. But that doesn't mean you aren't allowed to be a Christian.
Yeah, I mean, that's that concept specifically, like I started being, you know, socialist friendly before I was an atheist. And
Jesus, Jesus was, I mean, the closest thing to like a utopian. So if a utopian socialist had like superpowers, that's Jesus.
Right. So reading the Gospel of Luke and being like really invested in that was kind of like my conduit for that. But yeah,
that's why I asked what you could tell yourself of the past, because like, that's the thing, right? I was brainwashed by religion to be like, well, every other kid in the playground is the devil and going to hell. But if I'm told like that, like, well, actually there are things that you can combine and make it work as long as it's in the favor of the people that you love, then you can, it can be cohesive. But anyway, I digress. Well,
we appreciate the call a lot. I think we'll stop here and maybe continue on the subject a little bit, but we really appreciate your call.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. A big thing about religion and socialism is that the thing that Marx critiqued in even his critique of the church, the slogan, abolish the family, all of that stuff, it's not so much about ending the idea of familial ties and just turning over every child to the community immediately. There are no parents. There are no hierarchies in the family, man. No, the point is that like the bourgeois family, which nowadays we would call the nuclear family, is a coercive unit that forces not only the woman involved into, I mean, nowadays would be the people involved, but at the time it was the woman involved, into a sort of prostitution-like dynamic. But the same goes for religion. Like, Marx's critique of religion is about the church and the power and those things. Like, if you believe in Jesus without any coercion to believe in Jesus,
right,
there's nothing wrong with that. And I would guess that some of the opponents of it would probably say, well, even believing it at all, that is coercive. Like, it's the result of coercion. And you can't avoid that just in the same way they do with patriotism.
I think I had that argument with Paul.
Yeah, exactly. The argument with Paul is that patriotism, it's bullshit. It's utopian. It's just dictating circumstances onto the earth. And it's like, no, that's not what it is at all.
Also, I want to make an observation. I am so glad I didn't wear makeup today. This is just what I look like. And I like how the light is hitting me right now.
No, I agree. You look beautiful.
And my recessive trait ears. I look.
Yes, like I love your ears.
A cute
your
little ears, elf.
Your ears are some of the cutest ears I've ever seen on a person.
Thank you.
No, it's true. It really is. Like, look, they are like little elf ears, but they're not pointy.
They're a little pointy.
We actually have a request from Chris Molter. So let's.
Yay!
Hey, Chris, how are you?
I've never talked to you guys before.
No, we've never talked. Like, talk. Yeah. But you're a regular in our chats. We often see you.
Completely unrelated to the doc, if that's okay.
Perfectly fine.
Okay, so one of the things I struggle with is I'm a vet and my wife is still active duty, which makes a lot of our friends military, and trying to talk to them anything about socialism, communism, is mind-blowingly frustrated, and I don't know how to get through to them.
What, if you don't mind me asking, like, for more context for us to respond, where do your experiences usually go? Or, like, what experiences have you had trying to do that?
So, on my end, I was more combat arms related, so you get the more, I don't know what you want to call it, like, the good old boy, like, America is the best kind of, like, argument kind of thing, and communism is bad, but...
The 1990s argument, more or less.
Yeah, exactly. It's a stereotype for a reason. Like, those guys all kind of have, like, that same kind of thought process through that.
Right. I think a lot of what initially has to be gotten over is the idea that a materialist communist, not a utopian, doesn't view like military members, vets, or police people. I think that a lot of the preconception is that we see those people and we think, ah, they're the same thing as Nazis. And this is a thing that I think it's hard to address. But when people say, like, it doesn't matter why people joined up with the Nazi brigades, like they were evil, no matter, like.
Well, that's ideological and utopian.
Well, yeah, exactly.
Right.
But you see that all the time. But there's a lot of people who joined up with the military in Nazi Germany because their family was under threat.
Right.
It's not. I'm obviously not defending anything that those people did. They ultimately did terrible evils. But I think a lot of it comes from that. Probably the thing to address more than what communism actually is, ACD said it a moment ago, it's not a moralistic critique. My experience is that any kind of person who's against communism thinks that communism is basically a critique of them in some way.
Yeah.
And then I think once you get through that, you're criticizing like the relations and the ideologies and stuff that doesn't come from them.
Patriotism of a proletarian character is something that is inarguably useful in those conversations.
Yeah.
And to think or say or argue otherwise is
it's insane.
Beyond stupid.
It's insane. And the thing is you tie up what I'm saying, in which people think that communism is a critique of themselves, whether they be active duty military or just some MAGA guy off wearing an American flag. Patriotism is, I mean, I love America. I love the people that I know in America. I love my family. I love neighbors. I want the best for people who are not the bourgeoisie and the state conquering Earth and plunging areas of it into crisis and exploiting people and oppressing people. I don't like that. But everything else about America, it's people, it's creative talents, it's life.
Yeah, not to sound adventuristic, yeah, but to think that you're going to have some kind of like revolution that involves any kind of combat or anything like that. And that
without the military.
Yeah, without people.
Yeah.
The military
is no, so absolutely
stupid.
Well, I mean, if you have no faction of the military broken off in your favor, then you have the full military against you.
No, yeah. You have the community advocate watch team who are not cops.
Yeah.
On your
no,
side.
Absolutely.
What the anarchists call their.
Oh, right, right. You mean the Sentinels?
Yeah, the Sentinels.
The Chaz Sentinels,
anyway,
that killed
sorry,
the two black
Chris,
guys.
Sorry, Chris. I'm sorry we cut you off.
No, it's good. I mean, I like listening to you guys, right? So I'm here. One thing I wanted to go off, like the patriotism, I just wanted to like thank you because in so many leftist online circles, like military is hated on, like you kind of touched on already. And it's like, clearly, I like this country a little bit, you know, like I served it as I could. And just to see like a community, everybody here like that loves the country as well.
And this also feeds into what the doc that I'm writing is going to be about, like the doomerism and the hatred and like nothing can happen. There's this self-hating thing that is so palatable to American leftists.
Yeah.
Where they're so easily led to like this anti-American, anti-patriotism thing because it feeds into the ideology of nothing changing. It's beautiful that I can't change anything. I'm going to flagellate myself.
It's beautiful that I'm against this.
Yeah.
And it speaks all to the, God, what's the settlers and everything like that.
Yes.
Like, you know, we're bad people because we're Americans. Like,
yeah.
Right.
Which we're not. We absolutely are not. That's absurd.
Right, yeah.
That's the whole point in injecting class into patriotism. Mm-hmm. You can then make the distinction between what is good. I shouldn't say what is good, but what is under the boot and what is the boot.
Yeah, so to answer your question.
I forgot.
I think combining what we both said, utilizing a framework that is unambiguously pro-American, patriotic, not in a way that supports the imperial core state, but in a way that supports the American people, and kind of using that contradiction.
Be like, yeah.
Hey, look at this shit that we have to do for these people. Does that really help the people here at home?
Yeah, that's a fantastic way of putting it. Like, and maybe bring in examples of that type of stuff, you know? Some of the stuff I've seen as a military veteran.
Right.
do you think that actually helps?
It reminds me of my parents, because they're not vets themselves, but their parents were in the military. And that kind of stance is something that really gets them who are otherwise like completely non-sympathetic to anything touching the word communism. For somebody say, oh, that's not what communism is. And to be pro-American and patriotic in a way that supports workers, it confuses them. And
yeah,
it
makes their guard go down.
Yeah,
because like
of changing their perspective.
We've had many an argument with people who are like, "You're supporting fascism, and you're helping out the imperial state." It's like, well, actually, it's not like ACD and myself come from families or locations that are just full of like bleeding heart liberals. Like,
yeah,
a lot of my family is conservative. Your parents are conservative. One of my parents is conservative.
Your mom's shit lib.
Yeah, my mom is a big shit lib. And she's a big shit lib without having any idea why. She is not.
It's adorable, though.
She is not a. Okay, neither of my parents come for money. Neither of my parents come for money. They have been in the lower rungs of society. And one is a conservative, and it's so understandable why. And my mom is a shit lib. One thing that would move somebody towards being a shit lib is having money. And I don't really understand why she's a shit lib, knowing like her family past. And the only thing I can figure.
Her talking about like, was it one of your aunt's like husbands? And she was like talking about conflict, and she was like, and he was a QAnon.
Yeah. The only reason I can figure she is a shit lib is because she lived in Benton Harbor her whole life. And that's a very, like, it's an 86% black city.
I think you're from Michigan. I am too. Yeah, Grand Rapids area.
Nice. I saw Limp Bizkit in Grand Rapids in 1998
nice.
Or
9. Anytime you can see.
Oh, man, you're old. I was not old enough to go to a Limp Bizkit concert at that time.
Yeah, they were selling the Dreamcast.
Wait, in 1998?
There was a big... I think it was 99, actually.
Oh.
Because they were selling... They had a big Dreamcast display set up.
I had just stopped shitting my pants, probably.
Fred Durst was playing the boxing game on Dreamcast on a huge screen as you were filing into the arena.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Sorry,
we've gotten way off.
Yeah, sorry. Just got to start rambling. Yeah, you guys did great. Thanks.
Yeah. Thanks a lot, Chris. Yes, we really appreciate the call. Thank you.
Yeah, it was nice talking with you guys. Thanks.
Same to you.
Nice.
Yeah, that was a good call.
Thank you, Chris.
Doing it through the Discord has been a much better experience than doing it through Twitter Spaces. Never again.
Oh, it looks like I became a speaker. Hi, guys.
Hey, Zolway, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you guys doing?
We are well.
Hi, Zolway.
I guess I'm a mod, so I was able just to slide in here. I thought I'd put in a request and whoopsies. But I heard you guys talking about patriotism, and I'm like, ooh, I can jump in on this. I figured I could take a moment here to plug it. One of our community members, Null, has recently put out a really cool pamphlet sort of capturing a lot of different Marxist thinkers from the 20th century about what patriotism is.
Nice.
And
sort of
pulling through that. And so it's available on, I believe, Amazon as well as Lulu. I've got it. It's a nice little... Short little read, kind of about the length, I'd say, of a cancel culture.
Nice. I think he's actually sent us a copy of that at the Pact Pod.
Peter doesn't
address.
Tell me about the mail.
Well, because I forgot.
Can
about
we
the
talk
mail.
About the mail?
I forget about the mail all the time.
It says on patriotism, evaluating the historical context of patriotism and what it means in the contemporary United States. You've got Mao, Lenin, there's some Daniel DeLeon, even some Tito and some, of course, Debs. So,
yeah. Debs is good for that.
I love that.
So here's why you need theory, everyone, because if you have theory, you won't be bullied by a Discord full of Gonzaloite Maoist teenagers into being a weirdo synthetic leftist.
Well, that's exactly
what happened to Marxist Paul.
That is exactly what happened to Marxist
That's
Paul.
What Peter said. See, I didn't really know that history because I thought that he was like cool and then...
He was cool and then his Discord started becoming Gonzaloite and then he just kind of acquiesced and rolled over to them.
Well, that's because
he turned the third world of style until his Patreon went up.
We've got Tanker Kissed on now too.
Hi.
The thing about what Marxist Paul was doing was ACD, I don't want to say made the mistake of, because I think that this is the right thing to do, what you did.
But it was unfortunate. Weeks of conversation with Marxist Paul, who I thought and really seemed like very kind about it, even though he was kind of like...
He was deferential to an academic. That's what it was.
Right. I don't know. But there is a long conversation.
Privately, not in public. Yeah. It was not like a debate or anything. That made it seem like it might be something.
And then like ended with basically us just the main disagreement was, I would describe it as being semantic, but important semantic distinctions that we both saw as important that we would not come to agreement on. That's like a really charitable way.
You're being way too charitable, because he was really insulting at the end.
Well, at the end, he was basically like, Caleb Maupin's a fascist.
You don't know anything.
Yeah, you're dangerously misled. Yeah, that kind of thing. And so I was like,
you're a baby Marxist.
Well, he didn't say that, but
yes, he did. He said the words baby. He said, what we do see is sometimes baby Marxists make this mistake. And it's like, fuck yourself.
Anyway, so, and the reason I'm comfortable sharing this private conversation is because he said that about Caleb. And I said, okay, well, if you'd like to do a voice call and talk over these concerns that you have, I'm happy to do that. A few days pass and he is on an interview talking about the proletarian patriotism question and strawmanning it. It was something like, can communism and nationalism exist in the United States?
When repeatedly we have said that patriotism has nothing to do with nationalism. The thing about what Marxist Paul was doing was he kept repeating the same points. I saw their chat log, as well as somebody else that I know who goes by Enigma, also had like within like 3 or 4 days later had the exact same
conversation. Yeah, Enigma was a little more abrasive.
Well, I don't think that he got the same kind of respect that that your credentials. Because remember, you did tell him what you do, which was you run a free therapy night for marginalized people.
Well, no,
people.
I said
you
that did. In a tweet.
Yeah, but the point is that like he knew he couldn't just come in saying you're a racist and a fascist.
Right.
So he kind of came in with a different tone for you. Enigma, like he kind of just went at him. And what he ended up getting out of him was Marxist Paul said that after he tried to act as though quotes were being taken out of context with on the national pride of the great Russians.
Then he just defaulted to Lenin's analysis is, and I quote, dog shit.
Yeah, he was shown that context supports the point that we've been making repeatedly with the quotes from that essay. Like, we didn't just control F like patriotism or whatever. We don't do that. We read. Like
the synthetic leftists really just think we're like invoking these quotes as magical spells to try to like get owned. But like, no, we're actually making an argument and backing it up with scientific literature. Like, that's the whole point. We're not casting spells.
That's what they do.
But
yeah, exactly.
But Paul did that with the five observations from Lenin and imperialism. He considers it to be an imperialism checklist rather than an observation about the progress of capitalism.
And of course, like, he makes the argument of, well, like, we don't worship these theorists. Like, they can be wrong and we critically evaluate them. That's the point of dialogue.
Except for Gonzalo. Gonzalo must be worshipped. He did nothing wrong by killing children and boiling babies and peasants.
Right. And it's just like that. Like, he could say that to you if you're using quotes in scientific literature to back something up. But if he's using something, it's theoretical support.
Yeah. Real Leninists reject Leninism.
Dog. So true.
but like, he was given, like, context to show that that essay makes the point we're making. And his response was, Lenin's analysis here is dog shit. And it's like, how fucking stupid are you? Like, I'm sorry. No, it's not.
It's like I saw the other day, non-compete on a YouTube comment said Ben Franklin wasn't smart. And it's like, you're talking about one of the polymath founders of our country. Like,
yeah, Ben Franklin. Ben, like, you can criticize Ben Franklin's beliefs all you want, but to say he wasn't smart, like, in terms of people of that time, he probably had some of the most knowledge and insight out of anybody out there.
He sounds like Mac talking about the
science bitches. Yeah. Sometimes science is wrong.
Science is a liar sometimes.
But it's ridiculous. I know better than the leader of the main socialist revolution that succeeded and the country stayed around for nearly a century.
Right.
And then also he had the gall to, like, say that Castro was a moron.
Yeah.
Fidel Castro was consistently anti-imperialist.
Castro gave up ending the embargo and recognition from the United States in 1975 to support Angola against apartheid. Like,
exactly.
Miss me with this shit.
Yeah. He was consistently anti-imperialist. And look at the country's accomplishments despite the embargo. Like, right. That is a country that accomplished so much in terms of medicine, especially.
And Martin Luther King Jr.
Yeah, he said Martin Luther King Jr. was wrong for using the American flag. Fuck you. Like, that's insane.
And then I brought up, and this is, like, kind of just a side note, but, like, I brought up, like, the N-word and the F-word, and, like, you think that, like, Black people shouldn't be able to say that, or
fair people can't say that. I mean, that's the argument he's making.
And he was kind of like, does that bring about communism? And I was like, no. I'm not saying there's a tactical N-word, but, like, people in their own communities using that as, like, an interpersonal signal of solidarity and connection is not hindering it, certainly, even though those were things that were originated by bourgeois oppressive structures.
Mm-hmm.
There's a great Patton Oswalt clip where he's talking about, like, try to find the good guy, try to find the bad guy. And he's like, the evil people will always figure out, if you're only judging on aesthetics, how to use the aesthetics to trick you.
Yeah.
Like, they will always use it to say some of the most cleanest shit you can ever possibly imagine.
And that's why they love the Echo's list.
Yeah, exactly. Because it's so fucking flexible.
That's why when these people come out and say that Maupin is a fascist, this always appeals to extrapolations you can make from cultural signifiers instead of his actual material positions.
Mm-hmm. Well, exactly. Exactly.
So fucking true.
And again, they keep attacking Cuba like fucking Trotskyites, because remember, Trotsky's like, it can't have been a revolution because there's peasants or
exactly.
Whatever.
Exactly.
And he was also mad about Castro being from, like, the upper middle class, like the student left, which it's bullshit. It's all stupid shit. Like,
it's the assumption that people can't, like, understand and come from, like, it's an essentialist argument, essentially, right?
Exactly. Yes.
Absolutely.
Wherever you start, that's who you are irrevocably in these people's minds, and it's bullshit.
Calvinism too.
Yes, it is Calvinism. But if you tell them it's Calvinism, they'll go fucking nuts.
I want to know about Paul's racist tweets.
Where is this?
Completely shifting our perspective on cancel culture. Yeah, let's bring them up.
Yeah. I mean, to be fair, we have explicitly rejected a bunch of his arguments. I have actually not called him anything.
No,
except an idiot.
I'm not saying anything about...
No, I think we've... As we have been insulting, and we've been doing some dunks, but it's been on his viewpoints.
I got Pete.
Okay. We should do call-ins again. Yeah. I'm thinking, like, if we can sort of grow the Discord, we would rather pull from people who actually want to ask questions or have conversations with us than, like I said, the other time we tried this, it was on Twitter Spaces. And wow, did that result in some interesting stuff.
Oh, God.
But yeah, we can, yes, Sophia, we can sort of put out like what subject we'd like to talk about or whatever. But and we'll probably
faggots gone too far. That was like the first question we got in Twitter Spaces.
Yeah. Yeah, the Twitter Spaces question, the first one was well, and the other thing is, like, they asked that question, like, has it gone too far? And that's like, it's unfair to the person you're asking.
Right.
Because, like, if you're talking about, like, the bourgeois ideology of, like, queerness and queer theory and all of that, it has.
And but, how,
like,
that's utilized to disproportionately oppress queer people.
Yeah, exactly.
But the oppression's okay because you're also being represented.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
Because again, as I saw in the AAIP like history report by the director of, I think it was Crazy Rich Asians, he's like, and I don't know the full context of the quote, obviously, because it came from a Sinclair media station, but he was said, like, when I heard people laughing in the movie theater at Crazy Rich Asians, I finally felt proud about my culture. I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about? Like, I can only feel pride in my culture if it's a commodity. Like, what the fuck?
Well, yeah. that's what it is. That's why I brought that stuff up in Representation Matters. Even like the person I pulled quotes from talking about Crazy Rich Asians, Imei Ho, she is like an NGO like VP of some kind. And it's like not, she's not by any means somebody I ideologically agree with. And that's specifically why I wanted to use her quotes, because this is ultimately a liberal saying exactly the same thing I'm saying, because it's in her material interest to do so.
Mm-hmm.
It makes the point so much better when you aren't just pulling just from like Marxist stuff. And that's why there's in cancel culture quite a few things pulled from non-Marxists that I repeated. But
yeah, I love Militarized Hall Monitor.
Thank you. I'm glad.
We had a not an argument, but a disagreement on the cost.
Yeah.
Of the tactical hall monitor.
Can you reiterate that argument? Because I don't remember it.
Just that was too much money.
Donate to the Patreon so Peter can justify the tactical hall monitor.
Well, yeah. Like, in terms of, I mean, if I had made 4 docs over the course of the amount of time that I had, I would have spent probably the same amount of money.
So that's why you spent so long on it. My doc is going to be so fucking good.
Yeah.
Ooh, ACD's working on a doc?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, we were talking about it at the start of the, I'm doing consumption as activism after the overpopulation one. And ACD, we had that whole conversation in the bread tube or the baguette channel on the Discord about the ContraPoints documentary, which is sort of fetishizing like whatever that is.
The
wallowing. It's beautiful wallowing. That is what ContraPoints is.
The logical conclusion to radical liberalism turned to anarchism when you realize you can't attain those goals through the current apparatus.
And it's going to be good. Like the stuff that ACD came up with, like in the 24 hours after we hatched that idea, it's all very good.
But that fork that you reach in the logical conclusion of anarchism, where you either revert to liberalism with radical aesthetics, or you realize everything is hopeless and you fetishize your own sadness. This symbiotic relationship between those two things where anarchists tend to go in their analysis. And I'm using addiction as a helpful construct in capitalism that illustrates the alienation that results from that. Yeah. For people who are well-intended and want to do good things for the world.
Also, just shout out to you, ACD, because you're very open about the struggles you've had, and it's helped, I'm sure, a lot of people. So thanks for doing that.
I appreciate that so much.
I know it can be uncomfortable at times, but...
I appreciate that so much. I will be 1 year sober on Saturday.
Congratulations. That's exciting.
Congrats.
Thank you.
We got to get you a cake.
Yeah, well, we're going to be wild and out on Saturday.
Oh, the juice, it's going to be off the chain.
Yeah. So much Diet Dr. Pepper. Yeah.
We haven't actually watched it.
That's exactly what it sounds like.
But every single person we've talked to about it is more or less said it seems like it kind of is about how wallowing in addiction is kind of like where you go with stuff when you have nowhere else to. And that's
okay. It's this is literally this is literally an argument being like, hey, Chinese people, just submit to the British forcing opium on you. It's
yeah,
fine.
Yeah, it'll be okay. No, it is. Exactly. It so is. Yeah.
And it's really confusing to me. We probably should watch it before we make yours, but I don't want to. Like, yeah. I've seen enough ContraPoints for one lifetime.
Enough ContraPoints getting blackout drunk in my lifetime. Like me doing that while watching her is what I mean by that. Because
well, yeah.
it promotes that. It's
envy was torture enough.
Yeah, right. Yeah. No
envy. I'm gonna eat more tiles, champ. Or was that the other one? I don't remember.
That's
when I stopped watching Contra. It was like, oh, you're just a shill. Okay.
Yeah, the voting one, that pretty much was the end for me.
I started getting like...
I made a choice at voting and it was like, I'm going to stick with Peter. Peter seems to be on the right shit here.
mine was more with cringe because it was earlier before that and I was still like kind of... And like it's 2020, so like I was breaking out of my like little radical liberal cage and starting to read, but she made cringe that summer, I believe, and was like, everybody inevitably like feels these feelings and loves to and thrives to watch people like be worse than them and fail. And the whole time I was just like, I do not feel this way at all.
No.
I think this is a you thing and many sick and frequently wrong people.
Well, I mean, when I was watching that, I mean, this wasn't really because I didn't think that she understood it. But like when I see somebody say like, I actually get some kind of pleasure from watching somebody get destroyed on social media. I always think back to 2011 for myself. That's the immediate thing that comes to my mind.
Sure.
And it's like, you thought that was good? You think that it's good that somebody who was lied about in the media was destroyed by like tens of thousands of people on social media? It was like,
well, yeah, because if you were the elect, it wouldn't have happened, Peter.
Yeah.
You were the visible saint.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's interesting because there's this balance that I want to strike really well. And that addiction and even not just addiction itself, but falling into those. And the only word I can think of it right now is doomeristic or this fetishization of wallowing and being inept. This idea of like futile revolutionary acts and knowing it's futile. That's kind of what it is. Like. The ideas that go with that and addiction being a product of that very often is not the individual's fault because capitalism incentivized it. And capitalism incentivizes that for ContraPoints because people relate to that and say, oh my God, this is beautiful.
And take my money.
Yeah. And they eat that shit up.
Maybe a lot of people have some substance problems and they're looking for validation. Hmm.
I certainly was.
Caitlin kind of was too. I've been there.
Didn't she...
Revolutionary self-harm. Serve the bourgeoisie without even getting out of bed.
Yeah. Yes.
She likened revolutionary sentiment to suicidal ideation.
That was so... I mean, I get what she was doing, but it did... Wow.
It didn't land. That's for sure. I think now is probably a good time to mosey.
Sure. Yeah. I just remembered in my mind that I have tasks tomorrow and I'm very uninterested in doing tasks.
Thanks everybody who called in. Thanks Tankerkist Zalway for joining us.
Thank you.
Good night everybody. Thank you so much and we'll see you next week.
Thank you.
That's all for today. Thanks again for watching. This is Pact. I'm Peter. This is Miss Astronaut Cowboy Doctor. To help us out, click like, follow, subscribe, whatever. Leave us 5-star reviews on Apple Podcasts and Audible. To support us, become a patron at patreon.com/PeterCoffin. Thanks so much, guys. We'll see you later.